Orza refused to pause until they were halfway to Station 7. They sat in the foot tunnel resting. The Adiran sat furthest down the tunnel. Orza across the tunnel from him and roughly 6 meters away, gun ready. Yalcin was by his side. "Orza," she said, looking at his suit and then at her own. "I think we could take the AG of my suit. It does detach. We could rig it up to yours. It might look a bit untidy, but it would work." She looked into his face. His eyes shifted from Zaxal for a moment, then flicked back. "I'm all right," he said. "You keep the AG." He nudged her gently with his free arm and lowered his voice. "You're carrying a bit more weight, after all." He grunted, then rubbed the side of the suit in faked pain when Yalcin elbowed him hard enough to move him fractionally across the floor of the tunnel. "Ouch," he said. "I wish I hadn't told you now," Yalcin said.
"Balveda,"
Zoxal said suddenly, turning his huge head slowly to look at the tunnel, past Horza and Yalcin, over the pallet and the drone Unahar Klosp, past Wubslin, watching the mass sensor, and Avager, to where the culture agent sat, her eyes closed, silent against the wall. "Section leader," Balveda said, opening her calm eyes, looking down the tunnel to the Adiran.
"The changer says you are from the culture. That is the part he has cast you in. He would have me believe you are an agent of espionage."
Zoxal put his head on one side, looking down the dark tube of tunnel at the woman sitting against the curved wall.
"You seem, like me, to be a captive of this man. Do you tell me you are what he says you are?"
Balveda looked at Horza, then at the Adiran, her slow gaze lazy, almost indolent.
"I'm afraid so, section leader," she said.
The Adiran moved his head from side to side, blinked his eyes, then rumbled,
"Most strange. I cannot imagine why you should all be trying to trick me, or why this one man should have such a hold over all of you. Yet his own story I find scarcely credible. If he really is on our side, then I have behaved in a way which may hinder the great cause, and perhaps even aid yours, woman, if you are who you say. Most strange."
"Keep thinking about it," Balveda drawled,
then closed her eyes and put her head back against the tunnel wall again.
"Horza's on his own side, not anybody else's," Avager said from further up the tunnel.
He was speaking to the Adiran, but his gaze shifted to Horza at the end of his sentence, and he dropped his head, looking down at a container of food at his side and picking a last few crumbs from it.
"That is the way with all of your kind," Zoxal said to the old man, who wasn't looking. "It is how you are made. You must all strive to claw your way over the backs of your fellow humans during the short time you are permitted in the universe, breeding when you can, so that the strongest strain survive and the weakest die. I would no more blame you for that than I would try to convert some non-sentient carnivore to vegetarianism. You are all on your own side. With us it is different."
Zoxal looked at Horza.
"You must agree with that, changer ally."
"You're different, all right," Horza said. "But all I care about is you're fighting the culture. You may be God's gift or plague in the end result, but what matters to me is that at the moment you're against her lot." Horza nodded at Balveda, who didn't open her eyes, but did smile.
"What a pragmatic attitude," Zoxal said.
Horza wondered if the others could hear the trace of humor in the giant's voice.
"Whatever did the culture do to you to make you hate it so?"
"Nothing to me," Horza said. "I just disagree with them."
"My," Zoxal said. "You humans never cease to surprise me."
He hunched suddenly, and a crackling, booming noise like rocks being crushed came from his mouth. His great body shuddered. Zoxal turned his head away and spat onto the tunnel floor. He kept his head turned away while the humans looked at each other, wondering how badly injured the Adiran really was. Zoxal became silent. He leaned over and looked at whatever he had spat up, made a distant, echoing sort of noise in his throat, then turned back to Horza. His voice was scratchy and hoarse when he spoke again.
"Yes, Mr. Changer, you are a strange fellow. Allow a little too much dissension in your ranks, mind you."
Zoxal looked up the tunnel to Avager, who raised his head and glanced at the Adiran with a frightened expression. "I get by," Horza told the section leader. He got to his feet, looking round the others and stretching his tired legs. "Time to go." He turned to Zoxal. "Are you fit to walk?"
Untie me and I could run too fast for you to escape, human, Zuxal purred.
He unfolded his huge frame from its squatting position. Horza looked up into the dark, broad V of the creature's face and nodded slowly. Just think about staying alive, so I can take you back to the fleet, Zuxal, Horza said. The chasing and fighting are over. We're all looking for the mind now.
A poor hunt, human, Zuxal said. An ignominious end to the whole endeavor. You make me ashamed for you. But then, you are only human.
Oh, shut up and start walking, Yalsin told the Adiran. She stabbed at buttons on her suit control unit and floated into the air, level with Zuxal's head. The Adiran snorted and turned. He started to hobble off down the foot tunnel. One by one, they followed him.